He has given us a name that is above every other name. Praise God. There are so many benefits to being in the family of God, to bearing the name of Jesus, to be born again into His family. Amen. You may be seated. Four magic words of Pentecostal church service. You may be seated. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you're a guest of ours here this evening, here in the house or online, we're glad that you're with us. We want to be connected with you. If you're here in the house, we have a connection card, just a couple of points of information. We just want to let you know that we appreciate your presence. And if you will give that to one of the ushers on the way out or turn it in at the kiosk to whoever is there, you will get a small gift to show our appreciation. Online, you can do this, connect with us through the bit.ly link that's listed there on the screen, and we encourage you to do that. We're grateful. However you attend, we're grateful that you're with us because we know that our God has a way. Amen. And we want to let you know about our giving options. You can give in the offering box out on the kiosk. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website. You can give through our church app, which is Church Center. And you can also give a text to give. So you have all these options. And if you can't figure one out, you can figure out another one. So God is good. We want to remind everyone that coming up on August 7th is All Nations Sunday Summer Fun Fest. Amen. The motto of the United Pentecostal Church is the whole gospel to the whole world. And our desire is to be a church for every people in every community. Each year, Multicultural Ministries encourages the churches in our fellowship to celebrate All Nations Sunday. We actually take up that offering in October, but we're going to celebrate the service on August 7th, the same day as our Summer Fun Fest. And the theme for this year's All Nations Sunday is A Church for All Nations. CGC's Daughter Works, African International Ministries, and Voces Unidas en Jesucristo will be joining us for that service. So we're going to have a great time, a full house, bring a guest, especially if they're from another culture or another background. We want to let people know that the doors are open for everyone. We'll be celebrating the many nationalities that are represented here in our congregation. Its service will begin at 10 a.m. So if you're used to coming at 11, just you have to maybe hurry breakfast or something and get here at 10 so that you can be here in time for service. Pastor Steve Rogers from Elam Tabernacle, who is also the Wisconsin District Global Missions Director, will be our speaker. Brother Rogers is also a lifelong friend of the Grant family. But in addition to his responsibilities as a global missions director for our district, he also leads the church at Elam, and they have a very active multicultural ministry there. So he will minister to us with great liberty, I'm sure, and we'll receive a great deal from him. Afterwards, we will be going outside for fun food and fellowship. Amen. And, of course, we'll give you more instructions on that morning on just how we're going to do that. Pastor Jerry Simmons is taking care of everything out on the grounds. He's actually on his way or already up at camp for men's camp, which begins tomorrow. And Pastor is also on his way there or there already. And that's where they are. They intend to all be back on Sunday. Let's keep that as a matter of prayer, that they can all make it back. The Bible describes heaven as a place of all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages in Revelation 7:9. We embrace the diversity of our communities every day, But on All Nations Sunday, we intentionally take time to celebrate the many cultures of our church and our community. This is a great opportunity to invite someone you know from another country or a different culture. Sometimes it's awkward to make those connections, but this is an excuse to talk to them about the church. Hey, we're having this multicultural service. Would you be interested in coming and being a part of it? Heaven is a place for you, and our church is a place for everyone. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Praise. I feel a certain liberty here tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom or liberty, whichever word you want to choose. Amen. We want to continue to pray for the Thompson family. We want to continue to pray for Bishop Grant. Pray for Christina McKnight. She's got a very serious surgery coming up for her cancer. And then continue to pray for Sister Carpenter as well. Pray that all of our brothers and sisters who are up at camp, that they, one, God pours out a spirit, they have a great anointing, but also that they all come home safely. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God. You are so good to us. It's so good to feel your presence, to be in the house of God. We ask, oh God, for your blessing upon our pastors that are traveling to camp and all of the men and women that are going to be there in whatever capacity, whether they're serving or preaching or teaching or just hearing the word of God and fellowshipping. We pray for your blessing upon the men's camp and upon all that are traveling there and back, that the protection of God's hand would be upon them. We pray, oh God, for Sister Christina McKnight, oh God, for strength in her body. We pray, God, you can do a miracle right now. We ask, oh God, for a miracle, that none of this is necessary, but otherwise, oh God, I pray for your guidance and your direction for the medical professionals, but especially for Christina and for Sister Pam Carpenter, oh God, who's struggling with cancer, that you would turn this back and remove this from her system. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. We pray, oh God. We don't know how this works. We don't know how it can happen, but we know, God, that you can do this. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, for your touch upon her body. In Jesus' name, we pray, oh God, for this service tonight, that all we do here will honor you, will glorify your name. We pray for Bishop Grant, oh God, for your healing strength in his body, oh God. Turn back any cancer in him. Turn back, oh God, any weakness in his body, and give him strength, oh God, that you may be glorified, that you may be magnified. We come to you tonight and ask, oh God, for you to continue to work in us and among us and through us, that your name will be glorified in all that we do in this service tonight, oh God, and in this week as we go forth. Let your name be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Everyone said amen. Hallelujah.
Behold Jehovah seated on the throne, Abba, the realm that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Lord. Yes. And victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The word has a name. The word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. And victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The word has a name, the word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption, redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has given me.
you would stand, we're going to read the word of the Lord. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read 7 verses. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Obviously, there's a real need there. And there's an indication that her husband, the prophet, was faithful. So it's not like there's any fault here. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Praise God. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. You know our need. You know, oh God, the hour in which we live. You know the plan that you have for us. Help us, oh God, to honor you and to be vessels unto your purpose, that you can accomplish your will in these last days, not only in the world around us, but in our own lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. There are many different applications of this passage, of this story, and to try and cover even a portion of them would be frustrating for you to listen and for me to try and do it. But I want to speak tonight about the fact that this woman had a need. It was a real need, and God already had a plan. But it all depended on her finding the vessels that were necessary for God to complete his purpose. God is looking for vessels. Amen. We talk about commandments in the Bible, and everyone knows about the Ten Commandments. But the New Testament, I know Jesus said that the greatest of all commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. But he also gave us another command, if I can use that term. We call it the Great Commission. But I believe that for the church, it's on the nature of a command. It's our purpose statement. As the family of God, as the people, he said, Go ye therefore and make disciples. That's why we're here, to make disciples. That's why the church exists, to make disciples. That's our purpose in this last hour. It's not to get the right president elected. It's not to prove everyone else wrong and us right. Our purpose in this hour is to make disciples. Amen. I've been reading a book off and on called Simple Church. And it has four basic principles that the authors believe are the right principles to apply in doing church, if I can use that phrase. They did all kinds of research, studied many different churches, and they came up with these four principles. And one of the principles that they emphasize is movement. And by that they mean that there ought to be a path for every child of God, for everyone who comes into the kingdom, everyone who commits themselves to God, there ought to be a path for them to get from where they are to where God wants them to be. So that we can become, and that's another statement they made in the book, is that we are always in a state of becoming. We never arrive to the place where we no longer need to grow. We never reach the place where there's no more purpose for us in the kingdom of God. God's looking for vessels. Amen. This widow woman, she was faithful to God. As far as we can tell, her household was faithful to God. There's not any element of judgment involved here. It's just that the hour was such that her household needed oil. They needed to find a way to make ends meet. We are entering into an hour in which the church will feel great pressure. And we may, even here in the United States, where we've been so comfortable for so long, feel more persecution than what we have ever experienced before in our experience. We may find ourselves like the widow, trying to find a way to fulfill our purpose, to provide for the house of God, for the household. But God only needs vessels. Amen. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:14. I felt things tighten up a little bit when I said that thing about persecution. I don't know. I don't like that idea. But we can't read the Bible without seeing that that's a reality. 2 Timothy 2:14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to go to verse 19 first. We'll come back to this. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Nevertheless, the King James Version says, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal that the Lord knows those who are his. Amen. What a great feeling. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Amen. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, if you had there are a lot of purposes, a lot of reasons in this day and age in which the scripture was written that they used vessels for. We have modern plumbing. They didn't. Vessels of honor and dishonor. I will say no more. They did not use their finest vessels, the vessels of silver or gold, for the dishonorable purposes. They used the wood and clay vessels for that, and then if they were no longer usable, they destroyed them. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be used for an honorable purpose. Jesus went so far as to tell the parable of the tare and the wheat. And he said that the workers came from the field and they said that there are tares in the field. Should we go and pull those tares out from among the wheat? And Jesus said, no, don't do that, because you will pull some of the wheat out as well. We're told that the problem is that the tares, when they're growing, they look very much like the wheat, and it's hard to tell one from the other. But Jesus said that in the end, the day will come when he determines which are tares and which are wheat, and he will separate them. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be counted among the wheat. We have a choice what kind of vessel we want to be. God is looking for vessels to do his service, to do his work. Whenever there's a need in for ministry in the church, we feel this urgency to somehow recruit or find the right people. But I'm convinced that when that need is there, God is already well aware of it, and he's already dealing with somebody about that need. So I feel very comfortable in addressing the need for people to commit to ministry when there's a need in the church, because I know that God's already working there. This widow's household, the need in that household was no surprise to God. So that when the prophet started formulating a plan, it was the thing that God gave him because he knew the need. God's looking for vessels. Praise God. God's looking for vessels. So what is Timothy... We read Timothy, and we said that the solid foundation of God stands, the foundation of God stands sure. And we talked about the great vessels, the vessels of honor and dishonor. But notice the passage I started reading in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 2 actually describes a little bit of the negative aspect of this. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Our age is the information age. The war of words is all around us every day, to the point that it has invaded the church. And we get involved in all kinds of dispute and disagreement and the use of words that really have nothing to do with the purpose for our being here. We strive about words to no profit. Then Paul says to study to show thyself approved unto God. Not to our culture. Not to your friends. Not to the world, but study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not rightly dividing TikTok or social media of any kind, but the word of truth. But shun, or Facebook. But shun profane and vain, and I'm, never mind. Shun profane and vain babblings. That sounds a lot like social media, doesn't it? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And I know I use social media, so I'm not saying that, you know, that's the dividing line, whether you do or you don't. No, it's how we use these things. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who evidently once were in the truth, walked with God, were active in the work of God and were led astray. Why? Because they got consumed with profane and vain babblings, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We make that choice. We decide. It's not predetermined. We choose how we're going to be used, whether we want to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Praise God. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, the knowledge, the revelation. It's easy after receiving the Word of God, after having our sins washed away, after taking on the name of Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, after we've walked with God for a while, after we've, you know, dotted our I's and crossed the T's and we're good Pentecostals, sometimes we forget what a precious truth that we have. What a great treasure, the revelation of who God is in Jesus Christ. How we have the key not only to eternal life, but to peace with God while we live on this earth. God himself revealing himself in humanity. This is the truth the world cannot understand. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. They see us as human beings, but there's something supernatural that should be emanating from us because of the one that lives in us. Praise God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I don't have to win every argument. I don't have to prove anybody else is wrong. All I need to do is preach the truth. Earthen vessels. God's looking for vessels. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. Everyone say that. Here I am, Lord. That's the start. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And Ananias said, goody. No, he didn't. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this guy. I've heard about him from many. And how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. God, don't you know who this is? Don't you know? How many of you have had that conversation with God recently when he talked to you about going and doing what he's called you to do? Here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. Everyone say, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Praise God. Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But when God looks at us, he says, you're a chosen vessel. So whatever limitations we recognize in ourselves, whatever fears or doubts we have about our abilities, when God calls us, he's calling us chosen vessels. Praise God. God wanted to do something for the prophet's widow. He had a plan before she even reached out to him. He knew her need. The Bible says God knows our needs before we pray. In my mind tonight, I want to liken this widow to the church. We are in an hour in which we're going to have the need to do things that God wants us to do, but we're going to feel limited. We are the church is at odds with the world. Not because we choose to be at odds, but because by very nature, the kingdom of God is at odds with the kingdom of the world. And we are in an hour in which that pressure, that conflict is going to increase. We've heard preaching recently, and we've seen the stories in the scripture that whenever that happens, that's the time when God does something miraculous, when God does something marvelous, when God does something beyond the ability of his people. It wasn't until great persecution came to the church in Jerusalem that they scattered abroad and began to fulfill the Great Commission and reach the whole world. God's looking for vessels. Mark 9, 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Think about the people you work with. Think about the people you see every day at the gas station or at the grocery store. Does it appear as though they're weary and scattered? Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." See, we don't always see the harvest, but God already has a plan. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Of course, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and specifically his apostles and his disciples. In another place where he said this same thing, it was when he had sent out the 70. He calls on us to pray the Lord to send forth laborers, and then guess who he calls? Let's stand. I think it's important that the scripture emphasizes the fact that we're earthen vessels. And what makes us special is that we are in a great house. And it's not who we are that makes the house great, it's who he is. And our gifts, the Bible says that we are all given a measure of faith. But then it says that we are also, each of us, given gifts to operate within the will of God. How many of you were at family camp? How many were there the last couple nights when Brother Gleason spoke? He talked about the fivefold ministry, and we over the years, have heard many different things about the fivefold ministry. But one of the things that Brother Gleason emphasized was the fact that the church needs to recognize the five areas of ministry in the fivefold ministry: apostles, or prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that we for a long time have felt real comfortable with pastors. And then we identified the men and women who traveled as evangelists. And then the people who work in the local churches are teachers, and that's good. We're real comfortable with that. But then when we talked about apostles and prophets, we didn't all feel so comfortable with the thought that someone might be an apostle or a prophet. I remember many years ago when I was a local licensed minister and we had a home mission seminar in Janesville, Wisconsin. And Bishop Caskey was teaching. And that was really the first time I'd heard a comprehensive lesson about the fivefold ministry and how I'd heard Bishop teach about it, and I believed that it existed and that we're in that day, in that age. But he laid it all out, and it was revelatory to me that there are apostles and prophets in the church today. There are evangelists and pastors and teachers. But the reason they exist is for the preparation of the body of Christ to do the work of God. Friday night, some of you have heard this testimony, and I'll share it again. Friday night, I was sitting next to a brother from the church in Elton, who we have known for a long, since he came into the church, we've known him. Brother Al was sitting next to me, and Brother Gleason talked about the body of Christ doing the work of ministry on Friday night after he emphasized the fivefold ministry on Thursday night. And he said, now, if you're a member of the church, but you're not a licensed minister, I want you to find a licensed minister and lay hands on him and pray for him for whatever he needs. Well, I was in that service, and most of the time during that service, I've had knee issues, a lot of knee issues, and actually one is I have a partial knee replacement, but that knee, my right knee, had been just burning with pain for a week or more, and getting up and getting down, and especially in the morning, it was just terrible. I felt this warmth coursing through my leg that whole service, and then when Brother Gleason said, pray for a licensed minister, Al turned to me and he said, what do you need? And I said, I really need healing. And as soon as he started praying for me, that pain left my knee. And now, I've done some things since then and I've had to be careful not to re-injure it. But it's back to where it was before I injured it the last time. So it was instantaneous. It was in it right then and there. And I haven't had that experience a lot of times. And that doesn't mean that my knees aren't still old and creaky, because they still are. But that injury, that pain left in an instant. Because the Word of God was in that place, and my brother answered when God was looking for vessels. And he prayed for me, and I was healed. Praise God. That should not be just a Friday night at camp experience. That should not just be in the house of God that happens. That should be something that sets us apart from the rest of the world. That those are the miracle peoples. Those are the people with power. Those are the people that pray. Those are the people that God does great things through them. Praise God. I know, I'm certain that God is dealing with hearts in this place. I can't tell you who it is, but I'm certain that someone is feeling the call of God to ministry, not to licensed ministry or preaching ministry. Maybe so, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being available as a vessel so God can use you. Maybe you have been active and you felt like you were used up and you don't have any more to give. Maybe you grew cold. Maybe you walked away and came back. Whatever your story is, God's not done with you yet. Praise God. So I want to give everyone an opportunity to come at this time. God's looking for vessels. Remember, when the widow's vessels were filled, God filled them. That oil didn't come from anywhere else. God kept filling the vessels. He will fill you up. He will give you the anointing you need. He will empower you to do the thing He's called you to do. Whatever it is He has put before you, maybe it's to help prepare for Summer Fun Fest. Maybe it's to give someone a ride to church. If you will do the little thing that God calls you to do, He will continue to fill your vessel. He will continue to give you purpose and give you direction. There must be movement in our lives. It's God's will for us to move forward in our walk with Him. And He's calling us now to be available as vessels. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, God, fill me. Here I am, Lord, call me. Anoint me, use me. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Someone else. Let God use you. Just say yes, Lord, and let Him give you direction. Praise God. He's not looking for perfect men and women.
Oh.
Two of my favorite passages of Scripture are Romans 12 and Hebrews 12. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Praise God. A living sacrifice. Present your abilities, your capacities. And then Hebrews 12, 1 says, seeing we therefore are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience. Hallelujah. God wants us to submit ourselves, surrender ourselves, and then move forward in His will. Praise God. God has a plan for every one of us. He's got an anointing for that plan, and he's just looking for the vessel. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Remember to pray for these brothers and sisters that we mentioned earlier. Keep in mind the men's camp, if some of you are still planning on going up. God bless you. Be safe in Jesus' name.